This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Okay, now we are so fortunate today to have a beloved member of our community, EJS, which is the after-school program, which is right over in our buildings, has this incredible person who started it, and he has more passion and love for the children and for Jesus, and he really wants to spread the word by helping people and lifting them up. But first, we're going to hear from his fabulous uncle, Perry Stokes, who's going to sing to us. And then we're going to hear from Emmanuel Dupree Jackson about this incredible program that's on our campus. So let's hear it for Perry first, and then for Dupree.
Discouraged, and why should the shadows come, and why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. Watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eyes on the sparrow. I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear and read. Resting on God's goodness, we lose all doubt and all fear. Though by the path God leadeth, but one step we take. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow. and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Testing. Sounds good. Yeah, I think that works. Oh, wow. I got to follow that act. Thank you, Uncle Perry. That was beautiful. Unfortunately, the singing skills don't run in the family. I have a deep voice, but it's much more tailored for the radio, I think. Good morning. How y'all doing? Well, for me, it's truly an honor and a privilege to be here before you. My name is Emmanuel Dupree Jackson, and I am the founder of the EJS Project. I am also the husband to Janae Jackson and the father to Kalia and Jaslyn Jackson. So proud of all those titles. So I want to start by really sharing a story. My favorite part of the story is that is still ongoing. It's unfolding right in front of us all. I did take a couple pages of notes because if I were to share this story from the heart, we probably would be here till about 3 p.m. So I'm going to stick to schedule. So it's an honor to me, like I said, to stand before you today. I mean it in all the ways imaginable, from just having the blessing to breathe, to walk, health, strength. I take all of it for what it's worth, and I don't take any of it for granted. Amen. Dr. Martin Luther King, his words have always resonated with me, and I hope the story that I share with you this morning resonates with this congregation and really make us feel compelled to do just a little bit more. And I'm standing in a room full of doors, so I know we all do so much already. So as we gather here today to honor the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, I am reminded of the profound dream, a dream that inspired generations to work for justice, equality, and empowerment of all people. Dr. King once said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That step of faith resonates deeply with me, and it is rooted in the very beginnings of the EJS Project. I am extremely blessed to be able to share a story that is so organic and inspiring, but also is still being written. The best part about this story is that everyone here in attendance today is a part of this story. Whether you know it or not, you're a part of it now. And if you leave here today feeling just a little bit more inspired, then I hope you continue to contribute to the story on your journey in life. About 10 years ago, a little more, going on 11 now, around the same time of year, I was recorded on film for another nonprofit, Wise Tribe, with Jacqueline Bodding. They do great work. And the question, I don't remember the exact how the question was asked, but it was along the lines of, do you think that Dr. King's dream was achieved? Or if not, why not? Do you think, what do you think it would take to get his dream to be achieved? And I know, again, not the exact words, but part of my reply was that it doesn't serve any benefit for people to simply praise a picture that is on the wall. And that's any figure that's no longer living. But anyone who inspired us through their actions and through their work in their life, it doesn't serve us, our communities, or even the person that we're praising. It does all of us a disservice if we don't act, if we don't take the best part of the person we're praising and put those qualities into action. And saying that, I always felt like that, but saying that out loud, it really motivated me in a different way. And since that day, I always felt compelled to just do a little bit more. One of my favorite quotes, and I can't give the credit to the person because I forget, but it says, you may never know what results may come from your actions, but if you do nothing, there will be no results. That reminder continues to fuel me to this day. When we started this nonprofit over a decade ago, we had no funding. I personally didn't have any formal nonprofit training or even a background in working in nonprofits, although I spent my childhood growing up volunteering, always staying active, thanks to my Uncle Perry. He's always been there. And also the biggest things, we didn't have any inside connections, no powerful connections or influence. We really had to do this from the ground up, the most organic way possible. But what I did have was faith in the potential of our underserved youth. I had faith in the potential of my community. I had faith in the potential of grassroots actions and grassroots movements, and faith that a community could come together to create real change. Those are the things that led this. The Bible reminds all of us, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was with this mustard seed of faith and nothing else really going on for me at that time in my life that I embarked on a journey that would change my life and shape the future of not only my family, but the community I serve and many, many others for the better. Going back at this time, my daughter who sits here now, Jaslyn, she was only about a year old, going on two, and I found myself questioning what kind of future would greet her. Would she grow up in a world where her opportunities were limited by her circumstances or her zip code? Or could we as a community create a space where young people like her and all of our children could thrive? That was the question. Dr. King famously said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? This question became the foundation for the EJS project. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. These words also resonate deeply with the mission of EJS. We exist to serve those who might otherwise be overlooked. Fast forward to today, my daughter is 14 years old, and she herself is an active participant in our programming, her along with a number of her friends and relatives. We have a lot of nieces, and they all are here, giving their uncle more gray hair. I have a little gray hair when I grow it out. They all found a place to grow and feel empowered, and that means a lot to me. Over the years, the EJS project has transformed from merely a dream, a hope, a wish, into one of the most respected and known teen-serving nonprofits in Palm Beach County. This was not achieved, again, by wealth or influence or anything other than grassroots efforts in a community approach to doing something that they feel needed to be done. Galatians 6:9 reminds us, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This verse reflects the persistence and dedication it has taken to build the EJS project over the years. We celebrated the success of over 100 graduates hosted dozens of events over the years, logged thousands of volunteer hours, and have seen hundreds of kids and their families benefit from our program. That's a big statement coming from a small grassroots organization with no funding just 10 short years ago. As of today, right now in this moment, I feel as though, well, I think I know as though that we have never felt as safe. We have never provided as many services and programs. We have never served as many children and families. I have never felt as confident in the staff to carry out the mission, supported by a board and arms wrapped around by the community as I do right now in this moment. And that says a lot because it sends a signal that this story I'm telling is far from over. Dr. King's dream of a world where people are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character is reflected in the work we do every day. It truly is. Our mission is grounded in inclusion, love, respect, justice, and peace. Values aligning perfectly with the vision of St. Joseph Episcopal Church. I firmly believe that our paths did not cross by accident. It was because we have a shared vision. It was divine alignment. Jeremiah 29 and 11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." This verse encapsulates the faith and hope that carried us from humble beginnings in a small 790 square feet building on Atlantic Avenue to this beautiful campus that we get to call home now. A short true story is that oftentimes in that 790 square foot building, when I would host guests to come and learn a little bit about the EJS project, whether it was potential funders, partners, parents, students, whoever. And part of my spiel I would tell them really and truly is that what we were working to do is provide our inner city, our at-risk, whatever they would be labeled, youth with private school opportunities. And I meant that in the most flattering way when it came to really, for me, what that meant when you go deeper, not just the location or space, but support, access, resources, one-on-one tutoring, if it's mental, if it's emergency funds, if it's the opportunity to get outside of their neighborhood, to explore, to learn, to be inspired. That is what I meant, because I know that is what it took to change the direction of a child's life when they have so many other negative distractions. They needed a space where they can go and thrive. And that's what we created. Fast forward to now. Here we are on this campus that was formerly a private school, but God. We're located in building E, which stands for, and let me tell it, Emmanuel. That is my name, and I remember growing up, people always ask, "Do you know what your name means, young man?" And yes, I do. God with us, and he's with us all the time. When Rachel and I were walking, when we first moved in, and we realized that, we just smiled at each other and gave each other a hug. "Hey, Rachel, I see you now. I didn't see you earlier. I got you too, Rachel." That's her. When we were looking for a temporary space, and we needed one bad and quickly, we couldn't have imagined finding a place, not a place this beautiful, this welcoming, this, like I said before, so in line with who we stand for and what we represent. So it wasn't an accident. We were meant to be here. Dr. King once said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." The work of the EJS Project bends that arc a little closer to justice every day. Through mentorship, empowerment, and providing opportunities, we are equipping the next generation to rise above barriers and create a future where Dr. King's dreams becomes reality. As I stand here today, I am filled with gratitude for this church, for this community, for the countless individuals who have believed in our mission. What began as a vision to protect and prepare my child and to improve outcomes in my neighborhood has really blossomed into a movement that has touched the lives of countless teens and their families. My favorite Martin Luther King quote is, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of convenience and comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Over the years, we have faced many challenges and a little controversy, from securing our first physical space to navigating the 2020 pandemic and all of the uprise following George Floyd, to finding this beautiful campus in the midst of having a short deadline to find a location. And it really threatened our entire operation, because again, the root of what we want to do is provide our teens with alternatives to their distractions in a safe space that empowers them. So if you don't have that, it's kind of hard, you know, to be consistent, you know, have a place that they know is there, that they know they can get a healthy meal. They're going to have an adult say, "How was your day?" That is important for us. Even when that was threatened, we overcame. And every step of the way, our organization has relied not only on faith, but on action. Romans 8 and 28 reminds us, "As we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." This scripture serves as a reminder that through every challenge, God has guided us towards something even greater. I'm going to close with that, but I definitely want to thank this church again. I want to thank Mother Mary Ellen just for being who you are, always so supportive. Want to thank Rachel, again, my staff, my beautiful family, everyone who came out to support. This opportunity for me was a chance to remind everyone who I already know knows the importance of community in action, just to remind you that our work on this short journey can be so impactful and is so impactful as we just continue to believe. So again, thank you for allowing me to honor Dr. King's dream through the work we do every day. And remember, together, we are all a shining example of his legacy in action. Thank you.